Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Saha Viryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastumavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 58. Yamaraj said, "My dear servants, you have accepted me as the Supreme, but factually I am not. Above me and above all the other demigods, including Indra and Chandra, is the one Supreme Master and Controller. The partial manifestations of his personality are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this universe. He is like the two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose." So, you know, two threads that form the length and breadth of the cloth. So the whole cloth is theirs because it's the Lord, you know, I mean, it's woven together. Because otherwise it's just simple thread. But you weave them together so the Lord, by his being through everything, then everything is held together. And then also like the bull is controlled by a rope in the nose. Because you have a rope in the nose, you can see children can walk around and pull the bull anywhere they want. Right? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "You are great offenders. What nonsense you are speaking. Hear the truth. There is a controller superior to me, although you think I am the controller. He is superior to all devas as well. I am the Lord only of those moving beings who commit sin. But I am his servant. He is the Lord of us all." Right? So then here he turns it because they're thinking, oh, you know, we've been wrong here. But actually, no, you guys are wrong.
And right. There's a little bit of a different mood from the verses and still his commentary. It's very nice up here. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti.
No, but this is what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And this is then how he's speaking. This is what you always have to be able to tell, is that the point you want to make and then how you're going to present it. Does that make sense?
If
we do and you can get away with it, it's bona fide. The only problem is you would probably have to set the clock back about 30 years to get away with it.
Or they won't catch what you're actually saying.
Yeah, or they won't catch what you're actually saying. Because if you're strong, means previously it was before when it was strong, then devotees would go, you know, get enthusiastic. Yeah, okay, you know, now we're talking serious, you know. But nowadays, is, you know, if anything's not just, oh, you're the greatest, you're most fabulous, oh, it's so, we're so happy that you came here and blessed our lives by, you know, coming here and you know, to our class and, you know, asking us aggressive, you know, how you say, unintelligent, non-connected, and, you know, fully self-motivated questions. You know, we're so honored, you know, and if you don't talk like that, then, you know, yeah, then you're a problem. So...
But here we can see
how
it's done.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is it's done very, very nicely like that. But this is actually the point. So he's turned the tables on them. Right? Because they're thinking, we're wrong. Then he says, no, you're wrong. You know, you can see how, if you use this, that technique, how well it works. Yes. You notice that over in that part, in this morning, today, that person wasn't there. You know, I thought, well, maybe they're not in Mayapur, but I met him on the road.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because just people just, it's all about themselves. Well, here, no, it's about the truth. You know, as far as they understand. So they want to know if they're qualified to know. And so now by Yamaraj's grace, he is teaching about devotional service. which up to this point they haven't been inquisitive, so technically they haven't been qualified. But now, because they're actually inquisitive, now they're qualified. So that's the whole thing. It's just the attitude. These simple things that are actually the major aspects. We want to make it that it's a big, complicated, big, you know, thing. But actually, it's the simple thing. Like that. Those are the things. Now, the application may be very complex.
Yes.
But the actual principle it's based on is very simple.
That's why we want questions on the application, not the...
Yes. Because otherwise, if it's, it gets into too much of a thing. But it's... The idea is, how will I apply this in my life? So therefore, yes, can I speak like this? If you have the right audience, and that, then they like it very much. You know, the fun part is the people who actually like it like this, generally, as long as it's presented in, you know, intellectually, are the people who are professional and actually successful in the world. But then the fun part is to catch these people. Most devotees use soft preaching.
Yes. And it doesn't work.
Yeah, which doesn't work. So that's the fun part. Is no, they're quite comfortable with with this, because they're successful. They know you have to wrestle the, you know, material energy of the ground to get anything. So then when you say that here it is, then they go, yeah, okay. You know, they're good. They're good.
Yeah.
You sure?
Just found it.
Forgot another notebook. Oh. See. Oh. So I met them on the road before. They were coming this way, then they turned around and go back in the notebook. And then now they come again, then they turn around.
The other notebook.
Okay. Yeah, no. Okay, no, it's fine. Srila Prabhupada adds, also, Vishwanath speaks in such a way that we will not miss the point. You know? Because otherwise... Yamaraj has been speaking in a nice way, and the Yamaraj is the Yamadutas have not caught the point.
Yes.
So now he's very direct. So Vishwanath points out the direct aspects. Yes. He's generally more encouraging, though he'll be very direct, but in a more soft way. All the acharyas are direct. It's just a matter of whether it's more how much of the, how you say, what aspects of the culture you apply. Right? Like that. So Vishwanath generally is so to make it very clear. In other words, if by this point you haven't understood it, then you would understand it. You know, so that's good. But generally when you're preaching in general, then how Baladev does is works very well. Because you're encouraging, but at the same time you're making it clear.
So it's still a problem.
Yes, that's why in the invocation or that, then he mentions Baladev.
Yes.
Though we see he quotes Vishwanath a lot. Because they're the two main commentaries that we would be taking there from there. But you'll see is that generally he'll take the points of Vishwanath and Baladev, but more through Baladev's mood he'll present it. Though now and again it's very strong. You know, because you can't always be pleasant and nice. You know, does that make sense? Otherwise that it also gets boring. People don't pay attention. You know, it's like horns on Indian roads. You know, I've heard so much, no one pays any attention. Yeah, you know, it's like, in the West, everyone's okay. But here, it's like you'd be honking and that, and they're just walking and talking. It's like as if they're in a park or something. Remember, I think I mentioned before, they had the original Calcutta Mayapur bus. It was originally a bus that had been brought over from Germany by some hippies, and they ran, I think it was Delhi to Kathmandu, and they called it the Chapati Express. Why? I have no idea. I was once told, but I don't remember. Maybe because the only way on the way, when you go, the little side stands on the side of the road, you get chapatis. I'm not sure. But it was, you know, they would go, and these hippies, they would run it, and, you know, that's how they'd maintain themselves. So I think, I'm not sure how often, but once a month or something, they would make the run. I think then they became devotees or something, and then the bus, it was either brought here or then Calcutta bought it, so that was the Calcutta Mayapur bus. And that was probably, I'm not sure, I think it was maybe from the 60s or something, a Mercedes, you know, bus. And the horn on it was like the horns, a foghorn you get on a tugboat, you know, in the harbor. You know, the real, you know, real loud like that, you know? Not one of these high, squealy, you know, kind of things like that. You know, like you're swinging a cat around by its tail or something. You know, that not that kind of, yeah. So nobody's ever heard one of those. So when it would go down the road and they would honk the horn, people would first jump off the road. Then they would turn around and look. They weren't about to turn around and then decide. They just would jump off the road. It was really, really, it was refreshing, actually, to see. You know, these people, it doesn't matter what you do, they don't, you know, you can be going along, honk, 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 have to stop the car, still honking, and then they might kind of like a little bit, you know, over the shoulder, you know, kind of, you know, the like that, but, you know, what is it, that? Vin Diesel look, you know, and then keep walking. You know? So, yeah, so it was really nice to see just some, you know, law and order there. You honk the horn, they're gone. Yeah, so like that, if you're always nice, no one notices. So now and again, you have to get out the foghorn and then... So whatever works, or you always use the foghorn, and then now and again you're nice. Yeah. And the people, what's going on
must
here?
Be serious.
Yeah. You know, so, and anyway, there has to be variety. Okay. Yamaraj is in charge of some of the moving living entities, namely the human beings, but the animals who also move are not under his control, right? Because they're just Maya's just taking care of them, because they don't have to be judged. You know, it's not that. The Yamadutas come and collect your cat and then come before Yamaraj and you wouldn't drink your milk. You know, like that. No, they don't get in trouble.
They judge Yamaraj.
The Rurus, but they're on vacation. You know, they come there and, you know, I say they're working on the platform that revenge is best served cold.
Yes.
Right, you know, so. Yeah, no, it doesn't appear. You don't hear that the guy, you know, takes his pet parakeet when they throw him off the mountain and all that. And, you know, they talk and this and that. And just before he hits the ground, he lets go of the parakeet. And then, you know, he hits the ground. And after they put him back together, then the parakeet comes back. And then, you know, they converse all the way up to the top. No, you don't hear that.
I think the Christians acknowledge that animals go with their owners to heaven.
Really?
So, I forget who was somewhere back in my mind.
The JWs, I saw their, they're born again. Really? JWs are born again. I always have born again. They're always the guys with the guitars and.
Yeah, I don't think they're born again.
Yeah, but they're one of the ones that actually go out and, you know, preach. Yeah, means the other ones sit around and try to find cool places, and then we're going to really love the guitar, so that's why we're going to join them. And then and then now and again, you know, they'll come and they'll harass us, even though why don't you go talk to the people?
Yeah.
No, they got to harass us.
Yeah.
They go door to door. Jehovah Witnesses.
Yeah.
I don't know, some people call them JWs. But they go door to door. That's why sometimes on some doors, it actually see a sticker that says "No Jehovah Witnesses." You know, I've actually seen it in Australia. You just nope. Yeah. They give out all the literature, with the nice furry. Yeah. You know, your what do you call it? You know, your 8-10-year-old daughter is there cuddling one of a full grown, you know, lion that talks. You know, like that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm
so
not
they
sure.
Claim they are animals.
Yes, no, there are animals. No, we say animals are in heaven.
No, I'm talking about. I'm not thinking JW, they claim to be in hell.
That's it. Hope. Yeah, can you imagine stuck with a talking lion for eternity? Now that's hell, right? Yeah.
Maybe talk is not the only thing the lion does.
Yeah. Who knows? They don't say what he talks about.
Oh, that's also.
Just talks about reruns or something. This lion's been talking about I Love Lucy for the last, 10,000 years. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, Yamaraj is in charge. Okay, well, here we got that. Only human beings have consciousness of right and wrong, right? Animals is just, they just do, right? According to their nature, you know, they just do. And among them, only those who perform sinful acts come under the control of Yamaraj. Therefore, although Yamaraj is a controller, he is only a departmental controller of a few living entities. There are other demigods who control many other departments, but above them is the one supreme controller, Krishna, right? So, just as the Yamaduta said, there may be departments, but there has to be one head. So they thought he was the head of all living entities. They didn't catch that they're only dealing with a certain group. Like that. So they were correct, but they just didn't know who was the head. Right? That means the formula that how it's run was correct. They just didn't know who was in the place, you know, position. Like that. Yamaraj continued, just as the driver of a bullock cart ties ropes through the nostrils of his bulls to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of his words in the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of the distinct orders of human society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. In fear, the members of those orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering him presentations according to their respective activities. Right? So everybody's bound by what they're supposed to do, right? Out of the fear that if they do something wrong, there'll be trouble. And at the same time, it's according to the nature that they have that they offer things to the Lord, right? So they don't have to do something else. This idea is, oh, this is more important. That no, it's whatever is your nature. That's what you offer to the Lord. That's the best offer, right? Does that make sense? So the simple person, he has a simple offering. The very sophisticated has a sophisticated offering. The point is that the sophisticated person didn't offer that, it wouldn't be. But the point is now you say, well, he's getting a better result. But is he? Why is the sophisticated person who gives a sophisticated result dealt with in a sophisticated way? He needs it. If you don't deal with him like that, he won't be satisfied. So you only deal with what he needs. While the simple person, you can deal in a very simple way. So in other words, everybody gets according to their nature.
So the sophisticated person can be just as dependent on his environment.
Yes. So it's not that's the symptom of advancement, though that's what we consider on the material platform. More sophisticated, more advanced, less sophisticated, less advanced. No, it's just a matter of who you can deal with, who you can relate with.
But that would go under like neophyte.
Yes. Or it's more comfortable.
Well, the idea that material advancement means
yes, that would be neophyte. But it's not in the saying that the madhyamas or the preachers wouldn't have a preference. You know, someone likes dealing with more simple people, or someone more intellectual, or someone more socially sophisticated, or someone those who, you know, don't care. You know, like that. So it's just a matter of what you can, like that. But it's not dependent upon that. But it's more comfortable. But for the others, you actually think that's advancement. This one, you don't think, no, it's not advancement. It's just where you prefer to work. You know, it's just like some like cooking in the deity kitchen, some like cooking in the devotee kitchen, you know, some like food for life. So, you know, it's just what works for you, what you can relate to. Srila Prabhupada comments, apart from other living entities, the living being in the human form of body is systematically controlled by the Vedic injunctions in terms of the divisions of varna and ashrama. A human being is expected to follow the rules and regulations of varna and ashrama. Otherwise, he cannot escape punishment by Yamaraj. The point is that every human being is expected to elevate himself to the position of a Brahmana, the most intelligent man, and then one must transcend that position to become a Vaishnava. Right? So that's why we take Brahmana as just our basic social position. Right? That's what we take. So this whole thing, oh, why do we have to follow? This is just, for us, is just, we consider this not something special. This is just regular for us. Right? So that's why we may do the duties of these others. But as far as the culture and dealings, then it's always Brahmana. Does that make sense? So that mentality and all that. So that's what makes it like this. Yes? Yes, yes. Thousands of lifetimes. We can follow Brahminical culture. It doesn't mean that we have Brahminical skills. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say sitting down and doing technical worship. Not that many individuals have it, and of those who have it, not very many are interested. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So, and then why they're not? You know, some of it's because it's more just the devotional part, so they can do it, but it's not so important for them. Others just can't do that. Right? But, let's say to talk about Krishna, have a kirtan, you know what I'm saying, offer an artik, or, you know, these straightforward aspects, any devotee can do and anybody can relate, because that's the foundational Brahminical culture and nature of Vaishnavas. But as far as occupational skill, then one's according to one's nature. So it doesn't matter. The point is it's Brahminical culture, and then you engage your skill through that culture in Krishna's service. So it doesn't matter what one is. You know, like I was saying, is that that example, that devotee, he would do, you know, all the temple samskars and yajnas and all technical stuff, abhishekas, all the festivals. And, you know, a very simple, nice devotee. But as an occupation, he drove one of those 22-wheeled trucks. You know, generally you expect some, you know, guy with the, you know, big guy with the Fu Manchu mustache and, you know, a couple of tattoos, you know, to be driving one of those. But no, a very nice, simple, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't have a car, so I think it's, the truck stays with him, and then he's given work. You know, sometimes they just leave the truck with you and you may take care of it and all that. And so, you know, when he goes to the temple, he takes the truck. So him and his wife and kid, you know, they're in the truck going to the temple. Sorry? I'm not sure. Yeah, but that's, I guess there's space down there, so, you know, so like that. I remember going to a program, and, you know, to get to the program, all the devotees just got in the back of the trailer, you know? So you understand? So the Brahminical culture is there. He has that skill, but his occupation is that technically of a Shudra. But because of the Vaishnav nature, you know, because if he was the proud guy and I'm the big pujari and all that, you probably wouldn't see him driving a truck. You know what I'm saying? But that's because of the Vaishnav nature. He's able to do all those things, you know? Or it's just, you know, he's not into getting into it in the material world, so easiest thing is just do a Shudra job and Hari Bawa. You know? At least, you know, because he has more free time and I think he can move his schedule around, so then he can move it around festivals and, you know, there's jobs you can pick. It's something like that. So for him, it gives the independence he requires to actually do Brahminical activities. Does that make sense? So that's why it's for us, you have to look at it very carefully. So it's not that you can mix anything up. No, when he's driving the truck, he's doing that and he does everything for the company. When he's doing the Brahminical, he does everything there. So does that make sense? So like that it'll work. You can't mix, pick and choose. Like that, yeah. Okay. The point is that every human being is expected to elevate himself to the position of a brahmana, the most intelligent man. And then one must transcend that position to become a Vaishnava, which is even a more intelligent, most intelligent man. This is the perfection of life. The Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra can elevate themselves by worshipping the Lord according to their activities, right? That they can elevate according to their activities. So it doesn't say that, oh, they give up being a Shudra. It says through offering their activities of Shudra to the Lord, they elevate themselves to the Brahminical standard. Because Brahminical is a platform of consciousness. Right? Then it also has the skills. So what we're saying is everybody works according to their skills, but they try to elevate their conscious to the Brahminical platform. Does that make sense? Sve sve karmanya bhirata samsidhim lavate nara. Anyone knows, is that Bhagavatam? Because there's a verse from 11th canto that starts with sve sve. And it basically is saying, if it's done connected to Krishna, that's pious. Anything, no matter what it is, if it's not connected to Krishna, that's impious. The divisions of varna and ashram are necessary to ensure the proper execution of duties and peaceful existence for everyone. But everyone is directed to worship the Supreme Lord who is all-pervading, right? So if you don't have the rules, no one will follow them. So you won't have structure. And then that means everybody peacefully works together because everyone has their different position. So depending upon what it is, then they perform their duties. Right? Because if you don't have that structure, people don't do their duties, things don't get done, people aren't very satisfied. So it is the perfect system. Right? And it's not governed by time and space. It's always applicable. Now, what detail you apply when, that's time and space. But it's designed for that. It's Krishna's system. He designed the material world. He designed Varnashram, by which it's functioning. The two match. Like that. Yes.
It's actually very crucial point, and even many senior preachers, they can't explain this. How is it everybody is following Brahminical culture?
Yes.
This is where, you know, most people,
yeah,
you know, mumble.
Yeah, because it says Brahminical is the offer RG.
Yeah, it should be like Varna and Ashram Brahminical, or you're going down,
yeah,
the, you know, the,
yeah,
state.
But at the same time is that we have to be practical, so then we're the big managers, then we need money, so we're the big collectors, and then, you know, we won't want to be too fanatic, so everyone's the big shudras, and, you know, so that's, it's, but yes, yeah, so anyway.
Prabhupada was saying, you know, in so many places about Brahminical culture specifically,
yes,
but people can't digest it still.
No, because they think there's Brahminical culture, Kshatriya culture, Vaishya culture, there's only Brahminical.
Yeah.
It's just a matter, are you functioning at the standard or are you below the standard? So in the Vedic system, even the Shudras use Brahminical culture, but it's just how much of it they're used, how consistent they are.
It's a Brahminical means culture.
Yes. Yes.
So application of your own nature is in the Varnashram Dharma. This is Brahminical culture,
yes,
in a nutshell.
Yes. In connection for elevating yourself.
Yeah.
Like that. If it's that, and that's actual Brahminical culture. So that's where we see is the karmis and jnanis technically aren't actually as Brahminical as they should be. Though it is Brahminical culture, but they're utilizing it for something less than it should be used for. You know, it's like that. You know, you have that fancy Japanese sushi knife, and you're using it to pry open tins, you know, or something. You know, or you know, put in screwdrivers. Screws. You know. Yeah, but I'm just saying it's a misuse.
Yeah.
Yes. No. It's really simple. But at the same time, it's very sophisticated. Because as we said there, you have all these seeming contradictory things in this one devotee. I also know, another temple, the temple president, who was the head pujari, then also, I think, worked down at Walmart. You know, like that. Is it, you know, doing the, I don't know if they, I think they stocked the shelves.
Oh, That's the best.
That's the best.
Yeah,
you don't have to. You don't have to deal with all the people and whether they got cash, you got change, and they don't. No, I don't want that. And you know, yeah. Yeah, so then, yeah, so then Brahminical, see, he's independent, doesn't have to, he can just listen to Prabhupada all day and to stock the shelves.
And also, if you leave with the ice cream, you fall on the floor, you can leave it there, because it's not supposed to be back to the
I see, but do you have to pay for it?
No.
No? Okay. And his nickname was Butterfingers. So I don't know. Understand? Every day he drops one tub of ice cream.
Yeah,
it's
always vanilla.
Yeah, yeah, the 1 kg. No, that's standard. That's standard. Yeah, of course. So someone eats less than that.
Yeah, that's not serious.
Yeah, it's always saying you, if you buy a kilo block in India. They give you about 20 spoons to go with it.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, we need 20 people.
For me.
Yeah. Maximum one other person.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. You just cut it in half. Or, okay, you know, 60, 40 or whatever it is that works. But, you know, that's it. It's just two people, you know. So, yeah. So I always thought that was funny, you know, 20 of them, you know. Susan says, you know, they're thinking you're having a party. No, that's lunch. Oh, breakfast. Okay, yeah, okay, sorry. Sorry. Okay, how are we doing? It moved.
Yeah.
It was at 6 and now it's not there. What happened?
It
just
well,
fell down.
We kind of put it at the bottom, pointing up. And then the minute hand came and swept it off, so it fell down.
So it's on the floor.
So now it's on the floor, and we are back to one hand.
I see.
This is going to make zero sense if you just listen to the recorder.
Okay, yes, yes, it's definitely. Okay. A lot of things don't make sense.
That's also true.
Okay. Okay, the divisions of Varna, Ashram, and okay, we did that. But everyone is directed to worship the Supreme Lord who is all-pervading. So everybody's worshiping the Supreme Lord. That's the principle. Detail is according to what Varna, what Ashram. That's it. So worshiping the Lord, doing it to please Him, that is the Brahminical culture. Right? So that's why you do it just as rules in the beginning, and then you come to the Vaishnava platform, which is you do it to please the Lord. So that's it. So we're just asking people start with just doing because you're supposed to, and that's a big, you know,
yeah,
you know, wrestle a wild buffalo to the ground, one of those kinds of. You know. Yamaraj continued, "I, Yamaraj, Indra, the king of heaven, Niriti, Varuna, Chandra, the moon god, Agni, Lord Shiva, Pavana, Lord Brahma, Surya, the sun god, Vishvasu, the eight Vasus." The Sadhyas, the Maruts, the Rudras, the Siddhas, and Marichi, and the other great rishis engaged in maintaining the departmental affairs of the universe, as well as the best of the demigods headed by Brihaspati, and the great sages headed by Bhrigu, are all certainly freed from the influence of the two base material modes of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Nevertheless, although we are in the mode of goodness, we cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of others who are under illusion, merely who under illusion merely speculate to know God? 14 to 15. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The Lord is not only superior to me, but He is superior to everyone, including Brahma. Although we know everything, we do not know when or what the Lord will do.
Right? They know everything. They know how it works, but how it's going to work at what moment, one doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the.
Ihitam means that he want what he wants to do.
Right? Because that's it. Is of ultimately it's Krishna's Icha Shakti.
Yeah.
Right. Because the material world's the spiritual world manifests due to his desire. The material world manifests due to his desire. So the desire in the spiritual world to interact with the devotees, the desire in the material world is that the living entities will again come back to the this spiritual platform interacting devotionally. Right? So that's what everything's for. All rules and regulations are for that. Right? So then he runs things how it will make that best happen.
Na yasya karhichid rajan puman veda vidhit sitam yad vigya saya yupta muhyanti kavayo pihi. O king, no one can understand the plan of Krishna, because even those engaged in reasoning and scripture are bewildered by that inquiry. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.16.
So we don't know. You know, it's like these are the laws, because the laws are so technical, because only Krishna knows everything. That's why Yamaraj, when he does make a judgment, I mean, he knows the rules, he knows the laws, but he'll consult with Paramatma to actually make, because there may be something that's unknown. Right? He knows, you know, like that. So, and then how, or even he knows all the facts, how to put them together. That's then the point.
Yeah, like you were talking in last class, that facts are based on the senses.
Yes.
Bring them together, you may get prana, but not necessarily.
Yes. No. So how to understand what's the dharma in each, which is the higher aspect of dharma, which is to consider. Right? You know, just like the considering that you have a Brahmin with no faith and you have a banker with faith. Right? And so then the demigods are considering what is the nature, who's superior. So they decide that it's equal. Because one has the higher position but is lowered by faith, the other one has the lower position, it's raised by faith. But then, having made that decision, Brahma comes along and says, no, you can't make two things that are unequal equal. That's wrong. He says the banker with faith, he's superior, because faith is more important. Then that means that's the whole point of the Brahminical activities. Right? So that's technically that's how we're able to be engaged. Like that. But if we're proud of it, that pride will get in the way, because when pride comes, that means knowledge can't be used. Knowledge can only be used in humility. That means we actually understand knowledge. Yes.
You say that that pride actually puts us back into the environment.
Basically. I mean, there is some faith, so it's better than nothing. But at the same time, it's not a good position for ourselves. It lowers that superior position. Yes, so that's why then the good qualities are there, because those are the instruments you want to use, because we're engaging the mind in the Lord's service. So the mind is all these qualities, right? Acceptance and rejection, but you're going to express that through these qualities. Mm. Right? Because that makes a difference. Like, remember hearing this one devotee from, you know, aristocracy. We're discussing something, you know, about dealings on the street. And he was telling about how his mother would deal. Because I'm not sure, I think we were in Calcutta or something, and the taxi wala is trying to cheat us, you know, or, you know, like 10 paisa or something. In those days, you know, we would fight tooth and nail over it. You know, I remember getting out of taxis, storming off, you know, whole thing for, you know, like that. So then he commented, it was very interesting, you know, because he would do that also. But he said his mother wouldn't. She'd get out of the taxi, the guy would ask her more. You know, she knows what the price is. And she would just look at him and go, oh, don't be silly. And just hand him the money and walk off. And so it's like, what do you do? It's just such conviction that, no. So very pleasantly and nicely, she would just say, no, we're not playing around here. You know, well, we get right down there, you know, the dog's barking at you, get down on your hands and knees, bark back, you know, bite his tail, you know, like that kind of stuff. You know, you know, like that. So, no, it's just, so that's the whole point. The mind can, you do things with the mind, so it accepts and rejects, but you use the qualities to express it. So that's why the Vedic culture talks about these qualities, but they're in connection with the duties that are offered to the Lord. As we see in Pranamoy, they talk about those qualities, not because of duty, not because of culture, because they make profit. You know what I'm saying? In other words, how do you say it? If we go back into history a bit, you don't have to go far, but just to, for fun, we'll take it back farther. Okay, so we have, you know, how you say, the time of Dickens, right? So you have Fagin and his boys at the workhouse. There's a good chance the conditions are not good, right? And so, but is anybody complaining? No. So does it change? No. So only when there's a complaint, then it changes. Only because it can be seen as that sense there's enough volume of that mentality that if we change it, people will be more comfortable and therefore we'll get more profit. So technically pranamoy is not about these moods at all. It's about profit. But it appears since the whole society is arranged around profit, it looks normal. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so that's the whole thing. It looks normal. So it appears that it's something great. Oh, the businessman today is so much more enlightened and all that. No, it's just he's willing to invest his money there.
You see in the USA today that so many people are living in poverty. It's not that there's a greater consciousness.
It just
looks better.
It's just this. It means you take any city of the world, there's a few streets that look good.
Yeah.
Then there's a few that are okay, and then the rest of it is looks like it's, you know, it shouldn't be there. You know, it's just really, really run down and really, really... And that's the way it is everywhere, you know. So it's just that, you know, you just stick to those few main places, and you know, you don't do a guided tour through the slums of the city and stuff like that. So here on our left here, then here's this, the one local gang here and that, and they don't like the guys on the other street and that. Oh, hey, look now, they see he's going over there. Oh, and he's shooting him. Yes, see, that's just like that. And so now we turn our attention over here. It's like this, and then trundle off, and the gang guys leave the tour guide alone because they give some money.
Yeah.
You know, so it's cool.
They even arrange a little.
Yeah.
If they're gonna have a shootout anyway, they might as well have it.
Yeah. Do it at the spot there, and you get some good coffee. Yeah. Good. See, that's got the good how you say business brain. Yes. Because otherwise, who wants to just walk through and everything's like that? You know, it has to be something happening. Right? Yeah. Hence, Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes.
He ran a tour agency, right? Yeah. Okay. So they're bewildered by it because no one can understand. It's his Icha, right?
Yes.
Then, although we are not bewildered, influenced by Rajas and Tamas, we are touched by Sattva, which is also Maya. Just better quality Maya, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. We're just saying we're all in Maya, just better quality.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I think it was the thief and the Macedonian, Alexander. Once his men, I think, caught a thief, in the camp and all that, and they brought him before before Alexander, and somehow in the discussion then it comes up about what should be done, and he says whatever is done for you. That's kind of what he means. He says, I'm a small thief, you're a big thief, I take a few possessions, you take the country. And so he appreciated it. Alexander, he let him go. smart guy,
So.
Yeah, not everybody can say that stuff. Bold like that. So he thought, okay, cool. Okay. So that's the point, is they're touched by sattva. So also Maya, but just a nicer quality of Maya. Right? Means the common thief, you're not going to appreciate, but you steal a country and everybody's talking about how great you are. Yamaraj continued,
as the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as the super soul in everyone's heart. Right. So the senses, this other senses can't see the eyes. I see everything. So the super soul is in the heart of everyone, sees everything. We can't see him. Not by the senses, by the mind, by the life air, by thoughts within the heart, or by the vibration of words can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Supreme Lord. It's only when you reveal it himself. 16. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Yes. Oh, so we can hear nicely. Okay, yes. We cannot know him because he is beyond sense perception. Gobihi means the knowledge senses. Manasa means by thoughts. Asubi means by the action senses. Okay, knowledge senses by thoughts. Asubi means by the action senses. Hrida means by consciousness without thought. One does not know him by these means. He is the one soul situated in all souls, right? Because consciousness, you're conscious of it. So that means by none of these, by the senses, by pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha, you can't know him. Like that. Only if he descends, that's the point of adhokshya. He descends, then you can see. Because a prakrita, then you have to be on the transcendental platform. So within this sphere, then we can appreciate by how he's descended into it as that hokshya. Then we can see. Right? Then we can gain the experience, we can explain to others, we can directly perceive. But only once he's entered or allowed us to see how he's entered, because he is already entered. One does not know him by these means. He is the one soul situated in all souls. Yamaraj continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. He is the master of everyone and everything, including the illusory energy. He has his form, qualities, and features, and similarly his order carriers, the Vaishnavas, who are very beautiful, possess bodily features, transcendental qualities, and a transcendental nature almost like his. And so they did mention that they were very beautiful. That every time they talked about them, they talked about they were very beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know? That's fair, but at the same time as, you know. No, I think it's more just they appreciate the higher qualities. That. But otherwise, if you do make that kind of comparison, then they are really, really beautiful. Yeah. They always wander within this world with full independence. The order carriers of Lord Vishnu, who are worshipped even by the demigods, possess wonderful bodily features, exactly like those of Vishnu, and are very rarely seen. The Vishnu Dutas protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons, and even from my jurisdiction, as well as from natural disturbances. So there may be so many things that devotees are protected and everything, and they take care. The Lord takes care. The Vaishnavas take care. Mm-hmm. So, there's so much that we don't see, right? Because we have to remember it is Krishna's creation. So if there's anybody who's a devotee, then they're doing what you're supposed to do in the creation. So they're definitely on the watch list, right? Otherwise, if you're not, you're on Yamaraj's watch list, and you don't want to be there. So that's the point, is that special is being taken care of. So even though things seem to go so crazy, that's one is because the material world is crazy. Mm-hmm. Right? And two is because there's something for us to gain and learn from that. Because things are done for us, for others. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not always just for us. It's us and others. Because we think, oh, but for me, I'd rather have it this way. No, but what you need is this, and that's good for others. Right? 17 to 18. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yamaraj is lamenting, O fools, they are worshipped even by the devatas, whereas you are not worshipped by anyone. It means they're his servants.
right? You know, Vishnu's servants are worshipped by the demigods. My servants, no one worships. No one wants to have anything to do with that.
Right? Yeah. Find them as fools.
Yes, yes, like that. Yes. You have offended them. They protect the devotees from me. How low I am, Srila Prabhupada comments. Sometimes the members of the Krishna Conscious Society are afraid of the impending danger of world war and ask what would happen to them if a war should occur. Remember we discussed before, there was the whole thing that probably go out in the morning, the GBC men and the senior preachers and sannyasis would go. And so there was a lot of discussion at that time. I'm not sure what was going on, that it was worried that it would turn into one of those. But, you know, now and again, you always get one of these, you know, everyone's worrying, can this turn into world war? Mm-hmm. So at that time, there was something. And so then Prabhupada sang. In all kinds of danger, they should be confident of their protection by the Vishnu Dutas or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Konte Yaprati Jani Hi, Name Bhakta Panashyati, Bhagavatam 9:31. Material danger is not meant for devotees. So if something happens, it's meant for something for you. The material danger is meant for the non-devotees. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natesham, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:58. In this material world, there are dangers at every step, but they are not meant for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Right, so once fully surrendered, then there doesn't need to be anything, because there's nothing to learn. You've already learned. You've already come to the perfectional platform. But for others to learn, then things may happen, but they're not going to affect you. And if they're happening to us and we're being affected, then you know there's a good chance that we're not. You know, at that point we can scratch that we're some kind of some kind of incarnation or something. And so then Then we can figure out, okay, so then we're affected, but it's something for us. Right? Because technically, the reactions in the material world aren't meant for the devotees. That's the meaning of Krishna karma. It looks the similar, because otherwise if it didn't, then the karmis would, why would they work? You understand? If devotees, nothing went wrong for them, everything was perfect, even though they're not necessarily very developed, what would the karmis do? Would they follow their prescribed duties and everything? No, they would just make a show of doing devotional service and wait for all the stuff to happen. Right? So then that's offensive to the holy name. Therefore, then it looks as though it's happening to devotees. So then they just say, oh, that's your karma.
I think remember we were discussing that also from the other side, for the mixed devotee, it takes a form that we can relate to.
Yes, of course. Because if it happens to something else, then, you just don't care.
Yeah.
Like that. So it has to be something that you can relate to. Otherwise, then it won't mean anything. Yeah. Yamaraj continued, real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddhaloka, to say nothing of the asuras, ordinary human beings, vidyadharas and charanas. Generally these others say nothing of these others. Asuras, they're just going to work on the material platform. Ordinary human beings like that, Vidyadharas, Charanas, they're considered kind of the lower side of the demigods. They're not so much as postholders. It's an elevated position. They're glorious. They're always in the assembly and association of the demigods, but they're not in that position. I don't think they qualify to get results of sacrifice and things like that. They're part of the antariksha. So the demigods, the great rishis can't understand, the demigods can't understand, those in antariksha can't understand, and those here can't understand. So that means the Lord's beyond. So that's real religious, means what's connected to the Lord. That's the point. That's what the Yamadutas couldn't understand. Religious, yes, they could understand, but real religious, no. Okay. I think we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.